Thank you, Linda. Thank you to the choir. That was a rousing rendition. I love the hand clapping. Very un-Presbyterian, which is wonderful. It's very good, very lively and spirit-filled. Well, unity is something that brings us together. And what is something that brings you and your family together in your life? I know some weddings, of course, celebrations bring us together. What else brings you together with your friends and family that you like doing together? Anybody? Cottage? You said funeral. No, that's not good. Cottage? What else? Volleyball tournaments. Yes. You know, soup lunches on Wednesday? Food, right? Making food together, coming together, making food. That brings us together, too. That's a lot of fun. What else? Sports, music. You can go on and on. Music, and music brings us together. Thank you for that today. And Good Friday was such an uplifting time to come together, to dig deep into the passion, and it was the passion of Christ. It was very moving, and it was nice for me to be able to take that in. I was able to sit in the pew and really just take in the passion of Christ. I'm so thankful for the choir and Elizabeth for doing that. Well, sports fans, the blue and white, we get brought together and we're hoping for a long playoff run. This is the year. We're united. I see somebody saying like choking in the back. What's that all about? Unity means that we are simply on the same page. And it's wonderful to be united in things that are good and true and good causes. John's gospel, it's the same day of the week. It's Easter. The tomb is empty. Jesus is back. He finds the disciples not united in joy and celebration. He finds the disciples united in their fear. So at least they're united, but it's not such a good thing. They're united in their fear, their pain, and their suffering. They're behind closed doors. They're afraid of the Jews. They're not afraid of Jewish people. They're Jews themselves. But they're afraid of the religious Jewish leaders, the same ones who had Jesus crucified. They're afraid. They're behind locked doors. Maybe the same ones that went after Jesus are going to come after them. Notice that fear unites the Jewish leaders as well. The Sanhedrin was the council, the governing body, and that you had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, and people that ordinarily didn't get along, they're united around Jesus, right? Jesus has a uniting factor. Maybe the pulpit mic or something? There we go. Jesus has this uniting factor, whether it's good or bad. We're united together. And these are to be the moral leaders in their community. They're jealous of Jesus. They're jealous of this kingdom message that he brings, where the poor are helped, the dead are raised. And, they're afraid that their own self-interest will somehow be taken advantage. And it's easy to see why the disciples are afraid of the religious leaders. Yet maybe the disciples are actually afraid of Jesus. Have you ever thought of that? Remember, these are the same guys. Judas sells Jesus out. Peter denies Jesus 3 times. The other disciples are nowhere to be found when Jesus is at his most desperate. Maybe they were just simply afraid to see him. I know when I've done something wrong, I don't want to be found out. I hide and cower. Maybe the disciples were simply, he's back? What's he going to do to us? So there they were, doors locked, hunkered down, in their fear, in their doubt, in their pain. They're united and focused around fear and trembling. Focused on their own anxiety and insecurities. Isn't it just disciples that have this issue? Our world today is hunkered down, locked away, I think, times in fear. And these external traumatic experiences that we all face and we hear about in our world can lock us up in our fears. There was a recent article in 2023, the Chapman University in California noted that people's biggest fears centered around government corruption. It's an American article. So change in power is happening. People are on edge right now. May happen. That was a bit of a slip. What do I know the future? People are on edge right now. But we have our own issues in Canada as well. Issues. People are afraid of government corruption. And we can actually be afraid, too, of financial collapse in our lives, too. Our housing market in Canada is such a difficult place. We always hear the threat of something, war happening outside of us. There's biological warfare, there's cyber terrorism, not having enough money for the future. These are all things that made the list of what people are afraid of today. And those are just mainly external things. Then there's the internal things that we all wrestle with. Maybe it's a loved one that we're worried about. We don't know how their illness is going to turn out. We're dealing with grief in our hearts. A loved one that's passed away, and we don't have explanations why it happened. We're struggling with that too. Many young people are struggling, and seniors too, who are lonely and isolated. They don't fit in and don't have opportunities to connect with other people. There's so much that grieves our hearts and gives us anxiety. Some of it's religious fear too. We see God as an angry God, like the disciples whom we've failed. And we think, boy, you know, why would I want to be involved in that? Maybe we're thinking like Peter. We've denied Jesus. We've made a promise, and then we weren't able to fulfill it. All of these experiences motivated by fear lead to our seeking to overcome them by some sort of self-focused unity. We need to be in charge. We need to control it. Author David Brooks, I think he writes for the New York Times often, and David Brooks said that UCLA researchers have long surveyed entering college students about what they want from life. And in 1966, nearly 90% said they were strongly motivated to develop a meaningful philosophy of life. So back in the 60s, people wanted to have a philosophy of life that would do good for others. And in 2000, only 42% said that. Instead, the most important life goal was being well off financially. In 2015, 82% of students said financial success was what school is primarily for. In 2018, Pew Research asked Americans what gives them meaning in life, and only 7% said helping others was something that gave them meaning in life. And only 11% said that learning was the source of a meaning for life. Boy, has our society changed in just a short amount of time. Self-interest motivated by fear seems to be this driving factor in our world today. The good news of Easter is that the resurrection means that God shows up. God enters into the disciples' fears. God enters into our fears and into our hearts. The Lord doesn't bring more fear like the disciples may have expected. No, our Lord comes and he brings peace. He brings peace to the disciples, into their most darkest parts of them. He brings them together, united in this peace. Peace, he says, peace be with you. He says it 3 times. Every time he sees them, he has to give them his peace. I wonder why that is. Every time. In their fragility, Jesus is revealed as the Good Shepherd. He's the one who cares, who comes with peace to humanity, right? Jesus is the peacemaker. He comes to bridge the gap between God and people, and he's the one who restores them, gives his forgiveness, gives his peace to his people. They're united around Jesus not because they have fulfilled the promise, but simply because they've received his peace. That's what unites them together as a people. Notice Jesus came back, and I love this. He's giving out peace like it's, you know, chocolates on Easter Sunday or something, right? I love doing that with kids, just giving candy. Dentists love that, but anyways. Jesus is liberal with peace. Yeah, he's just giving peace left, right, and center when he's coming back. He's not uptight. This is who our gracious, gift-giving Lord is. the one who gives us peace where we really need it, lavishly giving this peace. I love how author and priest Henry Nouwen, he tells this story about, he's a theologian, he's a Catholic theologian, and he's at a university, and he meets this German traveling circus, the Flying Rodleys, yes. And Blair has a pick he's going to show. And so you have this theologian, he's teaching at the university. He quits his job for a while and joins the circus. And he can't do what's on the screen there, of course. He's a big, tall Dutch theologian. And he starts traveling around. And he's just asking a lot of, he's a sociologist too, right? He's just peering in on what they're doing. And the main trapeze artist, his name was, I can't remember his name, but he said that, this is Nouwen, after a long talk with the flyer, the star acrobat who flies and flies through the air, he asked, "How do you do it?" He said, "As a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I want to fly, it's Joe whom I have to have trust in. I simply stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me to safety over the apron beyond the catch bar. You do nothing." So Nouwen is like, so you mean you have complete trust and all you do is stretch out your arms in the air? And he's like, yeah, this is the only way it works. If somehow I reach for him or try to grab him first, I could break his wrists. And if he does, like, if I do that, he may break mine. So I just have to kind of go lifeless and just have my arms out and wait for him to do the grabbing. It's amazing. The disciples, too, they're trying to generate peace. They're trying to be together. And all they need to do is stretch out their hands. Jesus says to Thomas, "Hey, put your hands here. Put your hands here. It's me. I'm with you. My peace, I give you. You don't have to manufacture it. You need to stretch out your hands, and my peace will be there for you." Friends, this is what brings us together as a church. This is why we're here, is for his peace to come into our hearts. And we just have to open our hands and receive it. The disciples are afraid, and yet God catches them in their struggle and their anxiety. God catches them when they need it the most. I know it's difficult in our chaotic world to be people of peace, and yet this is what the Lord calls us as the church to be. God calls us and he gives us his peace so that we would go out and be peace for others. It's the peace of Christ that works in your lives, and God wants us to be available. Jesus isn't here right now, but you are. You are the peace of Christ because he is your peace. And he wants us to be in our world in this way. Has anybody flown to LaGuardia Airport in New York City? Well, apparently the mayor of that city in 1935, Fiorello H. LaGuardia, he showed up one night in court into the poorest ward of the city, and he dismissed the judge for the evening and took over the bench. I'd love to be a fly on the wall. And there was one case involving an elderly woman who was caught stealing bread to feed her grandchildren. And LaGuardia said, "I've got to punish you. You've done the time. You've done the crime. You got to do the time. And so, got to punish you. $10 or 10 days in jail," he said. $10 or you're going to go to jail. What do you want?" And as he spoke, he threw $10 into his hat. He then fined everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where an old woman had to steal bread so that her grandchildren wouldn't starve. The hat was passed around, and the woman left the courtroom with $47.50 in her pocket. It's an amazing story. So often our world, our mistakes, our troubles, they beat us down, and yet we as the church are called to lift people up, to be united in Christ around his peace. This is what brings us together. And yet we go out in our world with this peace into this dark world, offering healing and forgiveness and mercy to lonely and hurting people, isolated and forgotten and broken. This is the call. This is your call in life. Yes, it's the job. Yes, it's this. But each one of us are sent with this peace to lift people up. St. James in the Bible, Jesus' brother, he once wrote, "True devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world in all its selfish desires." Friends, Christ unites us in his peace. May we live it, may we share it, and may God bless you as we go into the world with this peace. Amen.